King Curtis on tenor sax, leading off on Jeep's Blues. Also featuring Nat Adderley on cornet, Wynton Kelly on piano, Sam Jones on bass, and Belton Evans on drums. This is from Curtis's 1960 album, Soul Meeting. This is Lead Stories. I'm your Treece Lead, and frankly, I'm improvising today because all of a sudden we have my account has been, I don't know, they've changed up all the requirements of Skype accounts, and I have to look it up. I don't have the time to do it in order to continue on my usual connection to the studio. So we're improvising. You know, this is the thing. Don't ever get so flustered that you just throw your hands up and you don't know what to do. You make the best of the situation, and that's what we're doing now. Okay. So what are we talking about today? We're talking about a couple of things. One is, let me get myself reoriented here for a minute. I will be with you in a minute. I had to retrieve my other stuff so I could juggle. All right, so here we are. House Majority Whip James Clyburn, you know him from South Carolina, who played a major role in organizing Biden's stunning political comeback, says he believes Trump is already exploring ways to remain in office even if he loses the election to Biden. What tricks do you think Trump might have up his sleeve? That's the first question we're dealing with today. Why is James Clyburn so convinced that Donald Trump will not leave the White House readily and willingly, that he has a number of things that he's going to throw in the way of that happening, and in order to hold on to office as much as possible, as long as possible, he's not going to give up. He's not going to go away. And he's telling us this right now. And you have to give him a little bit of credit because he's a seasoned politician. He knows the terrain very well. He understands Trump. And this is his analysis. Trump is going to do everything in his power to stay in office, including coming up with other emergencies that would require him to stay on as president in order to solve. So I was wondering what you think about that at 888-874-4888. Is Trump already cooking up schemes that would prolong, at least he will argue, that he must stay on in order to take care of these things, and then pass on the baton, which of course he doesn't intend to do. So where does that leave the question of the next president? Even if Joe Biden is elected, according to James Clyburn, and we have to give some credence to what he's saying, because he's been in politics for so long and he knows all the old tricks that are pulled, he says it is going to be inevitable that Trump will do all kinds of legal things to block Biden from coming in should he win, but that he would stay on under the ruse that these things need his particular attention. Do you have anything to say about that? Do you think that is going to happen? 888-874-4888. Let's get started with that little question. And who's on the air?
Joe from Florida.
Joe from Florida, you on the air.
Hi, how are you doing? That's a preposterous idea, and I don't see why you should give it any attention at all. It's most ridiculous thing. That's all I have to say. Bye.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Short and sweet. He thinks it's a preposterous idea. He doesn't think it has any merit. Maybe you differ. At 888-874-4888. Is Trump planning to hinder a smooth transition so as to prolong his tenure as president because he really doesn't want to leave the White House? What do you say? Who's on? 888-874-4888. Henry from Chicago, you're on the air.
Hey, Trees, how's it going?
Hey. I imagine it's the same as the way it's going for you and most everybody else. We're all in the same boat together.
Yeah. Well, you, Trees, just like you have been mentioning about the mental derangement of Donald Trump, I'm pretty sure I've said this on your show before, that this guy is not going to leave the office freely. He will have to be forced out.
He's going to create a problem? He's going to create a constitutional problem?
I have been saying this for the last 2 years now. Even if he loses, which I don't think he's going to lose, but even if he loses, he is not going to leave the White House freely. He's not going to give up his seat without a fight. And it might be just a physical fight. This guy is, my goodness,
Henry.
Yes. And it's going to be a disaster because of the fact that, you know, obviously you have followers who would think that, you know, Trump is being oppressed, or, you know, this is a coup and they're attempting to overthrow the president, even though if he loses the election, he is legally obligated to leave the White House, but he's going to basically sit in his chair until troops or whatever comes in and has to physically remove it, and we will be the laughing stock of the world. He's not moving. Yes.
So if you could predict that, let's say we go with your prediction.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is being planned now to counteract that?
Well, right now, he just mentioned last week about possibly delaying the election, and I'm glad people, and especially people in the Republican Party, had sense to say, no, we're not going to delay the election. It's going to keep going.
I just want to stop here for 1 second, if you don't mind. Sorry to interrupt. He can't stop the election. He can't delay. He has no authority. He has no power to do so. So when he came out with that, it was more to, it confirmed his ignorance about his own power as a president. He cannot. Only Congress can do that. And secondly,
we know that. We know that.
He has no power to do that. But what he did was, people make bold. People like Trump make very bold moves, very bold statements to, you know, shake people up and to bring the discourse to himself. He may not even be saying it because he intends to do it, but it is a great way to divert attention to himself, which, of course, he loves to do, and mm-hmm. it becomes about him, and it doesn't become about the election going on as planned and a very strong likelihood that he may not win. So now he creates another diversion, another kind of anxiety in the people, and he becomes the center once more of attention.
Yeah, well, I've already said this before, but, you know, I honestly think he's going to win anyway. But even if he doesn't,
what makes you think that, by the way? What makes you think that he is going to win when all the polls so far are showing that he is continuing to lose ground?
Well, the polls tend to lie because, as we saw in the 2016 election, the pre polls had showed Hillary Clinton winning in September. And what was so interesting too is our favorite historian, Dr. Horn. I heard him on a program talking about the 88 election, where
he's going to be with us tomorrow, by the way.
Oh, thank you. But he mentioned on another program about pre-polling elections where Mondale had a double-digit lead against George H.W. Bush in the 88 election, and he still ended up losing that election. So he had warned us about pre-election polls, and obviously this looks like the same thing.
Well, but in any event, you're saying that it is going to be no surprise to you if Trump holds on with both hands and all fingers to his desk and refuses to vacate the office.
Nope, it will not be a surprise to me at all.
Okay. Thanks for calling in. 888-874-4888. Who's up next? Ali from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Utrecht. How are you doing?
Okay, my dear. How are you?
Hanging in. We have some very bad weather here with the very windy and it's raining. So since yesterday. So we're getting a little bit of that little storm in New York City right now. Yeah, but going back to your question, you know that saying, the Banana Republic? I guess the United States is fitting right in into that mode now. If you see what is happening in Bolivia right now, it's almost something similar to what is happening here. Even though he doesn't have any power to really move the election, you know how it is. It's like everything that it could go right, it goes right for Trump for the most part. So we just have to see what is going to happen with that. But what they're doing in Bolivia is almost the same thing. They're moving the election every time that they have a date, it's being moved. And I guess Almagro and the OAS has something to do with that. And who is the OAS? The United States of America. So Americans are experiencing some of the things that people in Latin America have experienced. Every time that a government gets into power, the United States removes that government. So I wanted to see what's going to happen if Biden wins and he decides to stay. That is a piece of the puzzle that is what happened in Latin America. So what you do outside eventually comes into your home, and this is what is happening here.
It comes back to haunt you.
Exactly, and this is, look what's happening, abducting people, even though that happened here in the United States with the immigrant, but now it's happening to the white people. So eventually, all these things that you do outside, you will do it to your own citizen. So we will see if he leaves or not, if he loses the election. Because remember, he has put plans. It's like putting a seed there. And he has put so many seeds that it's getting to the point, the harvest, I don't know what's going to happen to the harvest. So we will see. We will see what's going to happen. But this is something that we had experienced in Latin America and the Caribbean, governments that they don't want to leave and United States supports them then. They stayed in power. If you notice, it's a coup d'etat. We moved them. So this is an experience for the American people right now.
Privately, what are you hoping would happen?
Listen, I can't stand Biden. I have to tell you. I didn't vote for Hillary. I can't stand the woman. I would never
vote
for her.
You can't stand Biden?
I can't. I mean, the Biden. This is, why do we have so many people in prison? It's just like, so I'm wondering if he's going to double that when he gets into power, if he gets into power. And another thing that I want to tell you, what do I hope? Every time that I see Biden, he reminds me of my father-in-law when he started having Alzheimer's. It's just a perfect, I looked at him and I just see him. So I don't know what to expect because it's so many things that's going on here right now. You know, with people protesting and what is happening and what the police department and all these white supremacy. And it's just too much. Sometimes you just wanted to think and process everything into your head. But it's every day you think about something. You know what I do sometimes? During the last Saturday and Sunday from last week, I didn't listen to any news. Because it's too much sometimes to process. And what you do, you just get angry. And when you get angry, you stress out. So
yes.
What do I
expect? You can't think straight.
Yeah. What do I expect? Well, I don't know. It's like everybody else. We are in limbo, and all of us, we are in the same path waiting for the moment. There's going to be a moment. Thank you.
Thanks, Ali. Thank you so much for calling in and contributing today. Well, I'll move on to the next question. Should Biden debate Trump? Should Joe Biden debate Donald Trump? As you know, it's customary in presidential debates that the leading candidates, ones who make it as the representative for the various parties, the political parties, they come against each other and they debate the issues of the day. And then the debate helps in a way to further inform the electorate. And sometimes it doesn't. But in any event, the debate is seen as just one more way in which people can make a judgment about the candidates and presumably about how they will vote. But we have some people who are concerned here. Many leading economists and experts are saying Biden should not debate Trump. What do you think might be the reason for that? And in any event, what do you think about whether Biden and Trump should, in fact, have a debate? 888-874-4888. I'm curious to know what you think, because there are many variables here. And we've seen what debates can do. They can kill off a promising candidacy, and they can promote a really dismal one that you really don't want, but for some reason, the candidate comes through. And miracle of miracles, looks really sharp, really promising in a debate, more so than the leading candidate at the time. So you never know. What do you think should happen in this presidential race? Should Biden debate Trump? 888-874-4888. So I can't see the board, so somebody's going to have to tell me who's on the air. Okay. We have people moving a little slowly today. Did you have your Wheaties this morning? Come on. Let's get some energy into what's going on here. And let me hear from you what you think on this question. Is it important anyway? Do you believe debates are important? Do they help the electorate understand more clearly particular issues that are important to them? Or is it one more opportunity for propaganda, unchecked propaganda? Certainly at the debate, we don't tend to have people confronting errors made or misstatements made or just plain inaccuracies that are presented as part of a debate, unquote. And more we see that the debates are really not debates. So would we be losing anything if there's no debate between Biden and Trump? And if there is, do you think that given the positions, the political positions that each is in, with Biden gaining and Trump kind of losing ground, would Biden be actually doing Trump a favor by engaging in a debate with him, giving him the opportunity to bounce back and to make a stronger impression and clinch the debate, and by that clinch another shot at reelection? So what do you think? Should Biden debate Trump? You're on the air. Who's calling?
Ed from Jamaica.
Hello, Ed.
Hey, how you doing?
We're improvising today. I'm improvising, because just as I was going on, connection, my Skype, just they had a new design, and they just sprang everything, and I had to adjust to it and had no time at all to figure out what the new things are about.
Well, necessity is the mother of invention.
That's right. We keep moving. Nothing stops us.
For whatever.
So, yeah, exactly.
In reference to your question as far as Biden entertaining Trump in these so-called debates, because like you, I don't see these as being debates. I see these as, at best, political theater, an opportunity for people to flex their muscles and to show their vitality or their lack thereof, because no pertinent information is discussed and no real issues are brought to the table and no policies are raised. So that being said, I mean, it's a toss-up. If Biden can be coached adequately and overcome what I believe is his dementia, it could be a bonus for him. I think his handlers are going to have to consider it. He hasn't really said much. He's just been riding it out in his bunker in his basement and letting Trump's fiasco manifest itself. So, you know, I mean, it could be beneficial for him if he's coached adequately and if he's scripted correctly.
Yeah, but will he remember?
That's the problem. All time is a sum up.
will he remember? But, you know,
all time is a sum up.
The issue is, too, a debate between Biden and Trump is not likely to raise the kinds of questions we want addressed at a serious level. Trump is incapable of providing deep information. He's a surface skimmer, and that's all he's going to do. He's not going to be able to go into depth about anything that really matters, where people are looking for him to quantify his position. So In that sense, Biden would have an advantage because he may be tackling a subject at a deeper level than Trump is capable of responding to. But on another level, especially because there's a perceived intellectual chasm between the two. This time it's between Trump and Biden, but it could be between Trump and anybody, whether he's capable of understanding how you conduct yourself in a debate, what the purpose of a debate is, and whether he could stick to the discipline of a debate and make points. Biden is more capable of doing that, but can he remember? Can he remember what his points are?
That's the point. And another thing, basically, if the Democrats really want to defeat Trump, there's an information blockage that's going on with people now. I mean, with the political unrest as far as with the police and with the COVID-19, people can't really process that much information. They're out of work. The employment benefits are all gone. So people want short answers. They want a clear message. The Democrats have got to push the fact that Trump and his administration has caused people to die. They've got to push that fact. That's a fact, and they've got to hammer that home, that this incompetent administration has caused the deaths of several thousand people, and it cannot be tolerated. And if Biden can get him on the debate stage and bring that to the forefront, he can crush him. He can really crush him, because he does. I don't believe he has any type of answer or response for that based on what he's been doing for the past couple of days with his press conferences and his accusations and his demon sperm doctor and all this other garbage that he's been pulling out of the bag. So I believe if the Democrats really want to win, they got to focus like a laser on the fact that, hey, your administration is incompetent. Several thousand people have died. It's your responsibility. What do you have to say for that? What have you got? And if they can press home on that and keep Biden tight, yeah, then they should.
But on the other side of that, the Democrats and Biden in particular have given Trump a lot of ammunition. This scandal with Trump's son, involving Trump's son and the Ukrainian government, you have
Biden's son. Biden's son and the Ukrainian government.
Oh, Biden's son, I meant, of course. Sorry.
Yeah, Biden's son,
Thanks for the recoup there.
I don't think that's really is going to be an issue. Like I said, people are focused on what's going on right now. Most Americans, they focus on what's right in front of them. What's right in front of our face right now? I don't have a job. I can't afford to feed my family. This virus, what's going to happen with the schools? Where am I going to place my kids? What are you going to do for me? The Democrats got to drive that fact home on him and put him up against the wall. And if they can do that, then put that in a debate, put that in a format, make him account, which I don't believe he can account because he's not mentally capable of accounting for anything. I think that would be the death blow. And I think that's I'm not a political analyst, but I think if anybody's in the back rooms talking about stuff, if that's going to be a debate, they're going to make that the forefront.
But does Biden have the personality for that? Trump does, because he's aggressive and he lies a lot. Does Biden have the guts to change up a little bit to become a serious opponent in the course of a debate?
I think if he's prepped right and given the right ammunition, he can come across with not the aggressive temperament, but to be the adult in the room, so to speak, the soberness to say, look, man, you know, this caused death. You have destroyed this country. You have destroyed this economy. You have put people in peril. You have separated families. You have caused tragedy, and you're incompetent. What do you say for yourself?
Mm-hmm. Well, you make a good point, but we don't know whether the candidates themselves would take heed and follow your advice. We'll see. Thank you, Ed, for your contribution today. Thank you. Jackie from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes,
okay.
I can. Very clearly.
Okay, I don't think the debate is going to change anything. I think at this late date, people have pretty much made up their minds who they're going to vote for. I don't think Trump is disciplined enough to be in an actual debate where you formally, you know, discuss issues and points. He is much more theatrical than Biden, And I think it could hurt Biden if he allows Trump to do his political theater. I don't think Biden is capable of withstanding that kind of political theater. And the people who support Trump, no matter what Trump says, they're going to support him. So I don't see any value in having a debate at this late date. Okay?
What about the symbolism, let's say, I'm just, you know, theorizing here, that Biden would make a big point of not debating Trump because Trump isn't worth it. Trump lies. Trump misrepresents things. And Trump has degraded the country. And he has no desire to engage in any kind of debate because it wouldn't be a debate. It would be just a torrent of new lies.
I agree, but he has to develop that as part of everything you just said has to be part of Biden's campaign strategy. He should address the issue of why there's not going to be a debate and say why, that, you know, he lies, you can't believe anything he says, and he's not going to really address, like the gentleman right before me said, you know, this country is on a downward slope towards death. Nobody seems to be able to actually say that, just clearly and competently, that it has to be some kind of change. People are, you know, physically, spiritually, economically dying. The economy is gone, and nobody wants to address that. So I don't think Biden should waste his time with that. I think he should focus on what Trump has not done and focus on what he feels that he can get accomplished.
Outside of the debate.
No debate. I wouldn't recommend that. I don't think.
All right. Thank you, Jackie.
You be well,
Thank you, Jackie.
Patrice. Be well.
Thank you. Thanks for your analysis today. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
With respect to your question, I feel in some way the idea of a debate is irrelevant. You have actually no candidate at all on the horizon that represents the interests of the people. Here you have two characters who represent the interests of the ruling class, and it's no different than two foxes talking about going for the guard duty of the large chicken coop to me. And, you know, that's the way I see it. Now, Biden...
Wait a minute. I got to get over... I have to get over your explanation there. So creative. Two chickens... I mean, two foxes guarding the chicken coop. Chicken coop.
Yes. And
oh,
who's
going to
get
funny.
The job... as a chief god. That's the way I see it. Now, in addition to that, tactically, if I were Biden, I'd get away from the idea of having a debate with Trump. I think that perhaps Trump has the better verbal gymnastics that would work in a debate. And the point is that I think Biden wouldn't get as much out of a so-called debate with Trump. Mm-hmm. So the way I look at it, he should leave the idea of getting into a debate with Trump alone. And the people ought to think about the fact that they have no candidate that represents them. Both of these people represent the ruling class that runs the country. And the issues that affect the people, Trump and Biden, don't represent going to do those interests that benefit the people who live in the country. So that make people think it's time to do something about breaking up the monopoly on rulership by the one-party system we have of two far-right parties, Republican and Democrat. So that's the way I see it. So if Biden was real smart, I think he would leave the debate alone and take his chances without a debate. I don't think Biden has much to gain from having a debate with Trump.
All right. Well, thank you very much, David, for your call today and your contribution. Okay, so who's next? You're on the air. Willie, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, beloved.
Good afternoon, Willie.
I respect you. Listen, is this a test or you're just testing us, right? Because you're telling us that about a debate. And I based on past precedent, it's a Q&A. We went through that already. I'm one of your finest students, you know. So it will be a Q&A. And it does not matter which one, if they have it, in my judgment. Because just like Harvey said, he's going to still be in office. Makes no difference. And even if Biden wins, it makes no difference because it's the same party. You've done many programs on it.
Yes, but I'm asking, though, what you're thinking. What do you think in this specific instance? I did say it was a Q&A.
Right.
Because the it was not really even clear.
And you were
opinions
right.
Of their own.
You were right.
Yeah.
You were right.
Yeah.
Oh, you're always right. Let me
but I said that because, you know, things are designed. Things are they're designed. They have people who give an order, have an order that they follow and so forth. But that wasn't, that didn't even qualify as a debate. But here we have a very interesting contrast. And let me ask you the question this way. What could Biden do in this moment to force Trump's hand?
To be honest with you, Trees, I really don't think paying attention to that, but because I already know what the game that they're playing, so I don't waste.
Yes,
my
we
time.
All know they're playing games, but just to say,
right.
tactically, what use could Biden have at this moment if he chooses to have a debate? What tactic could he employ that will jam Trump up from the beginning? And what could he do?
I don't think about it. I can't answer it. I don't think about that kind of stuff.
Okay. So what is your position is you don't care about the debate?
Not at all, no. It's a Q&A, you mean?
Well, we don't know how it would unfold with these two, whether it would be a Q&A. We know how the last debate went, which was just a Q&A, but it doesn't mean that all debates go exactly the same way.
Well,
given
you know,
the stark differences between the two, one would expect that there would be something of a battle. But I'm not holding out hope for that.
The way I look at it, those two have already been selected. That's the bottom line. It doesn't matter which way it goes. Who the American government has been hijacked.
Well, not the government.
So,
these are the two people who emerged allegedly from the democratic process, small d. They participated in elections and or preliminary elections, and they were determined to be the two winners on each side, Republican and Democrat. So ostensibly, they're following the rules.
Right.
They're going
right.
by the rules.
To deceive the mass of the world. That's all it is. To make us think we have democracy. That's all it is. It's the same thing. Either one gets selected. It's the same. The conditions will be the same. Nothing will change.
You really believe nothing will change between Biden and Trump?
No, not at all. Because they don't run things. They're just workers just like anybody else. They're told what to do. And the Congress.
Okay. Well, thanks for your input today. You've
Thank
put
you
a whole
up.
Different slant on it. E from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Yatrice.
Hello, E. How are you doing?
Well, I have to say, I feel like the luckiest man on the face of the earth just for the fact that God spared us this hurricane on the East Coast, because it's far too hot to have a hurricane at this time of year. Cleaning up after a hurricane in August is a whole different story than in October. And I just wasn't in no mood for that. So I was praying the whole time, and then I saw it wasn't going to be so bad. So I'm just happy. I hope for the rest of the people up north, they don't get hit too hard. But we've been very lucky, right?
Yes, we have been. Well, we had a little issue here with flooding and wind, but nothing really. You can't complain.
Yeah, I had absolutely nothing. I cleaned out the drains the day before, and that's all I basically had to do. I didn't put the stuff on the windows. You know, I have these aluminum panels that have to go over all the windows. Takes like all day just to prepare for the thing. And then, you know, but they got plenty of time to terrorize us between now and the end of November. So I'm not saying we're out of the woods. I'm just thankful that this one didn't bother us too much. Well, getting
all
to
right,
the question.
So tell me about your views on Trump and Biden. Should there be a debate? Should Biden?
Right. So I think that Biden is going to would lose either way, because going up against Trump in a Q&A like Trump did with Hillary, saying if he was the president, she'd be in jail by now. He is the president, but I don't see Hillary in jail yet. So, Trump, what was you talking about? But that's the kind of stuff he does to get the people all excited. So I think he would pick up points going head-to-head on with Biden, because the performance that Biden gave in the primary Q&A sessions was very pitiful. And we were surprised that he even got the nomination, because he couldn't put two sentences together. So he definitely is going to lose points in the debate. And if he doesn't debate, then Trump could use that as he's chicken, he's this or that, and also get points that way. So I think what Biden needs to do immediately is to start saying a debate with Donald Trump would be like a waste of time. Nothing's going to be accomplished, and we'd be taking chances with this virus still around. And, you know, arguing with a fool is just going to create two fools. So why would I want to get myself into something like that? You know, he has to start driving that to make it look like, you know, so people say, oh, yeah, he's right. Why would he want to debate an idiot? You know, so that's where he has to come from, that slant, if he wants to avoid
why
losing points.
Why debate an idiot? It makes us two idiots?
Right. That's an old proverb. Arguing with a fool makes two fools, you know? It's just, that's the way it goes. It's just because they're going to take you to places.
What could Biden do? Do you think Biden at this point has any advantage that he could use strategically to make points before he even talks about a debate?
Oh, yeah,
what can he use right now?
There's a lot of things to point out, but I think because of, you know, it would just be him and Trump there in the debate, Trump would always have some fast, funny thing to say. You know how he just has that talent, like a wrestler in the ring, you know? He just knows the way to get people excited. So if Biden tries to come with all the way he's handling this virus is terrible, and he's putting people's life, or all these other things they were going to impeach him for, Trump's just going to use that against him, you know, with his son and all, you know, all these things will be brought out. I just see it bad for Biden being in the debate with Trump, especially if he's ahead for these last few months. He should try to avoid that, but then avoiding it, he has to make sure he's saying why, because you don't want to come off look like you're afraid to, like, stand up to Donald Trump, you know?
What would he gain by not debating Donald Trump?
Well, he wouldn't have to be put in that position. I think it's almost guaranteed that he's just going to get stuck, because we know he's got dementia. I mean, it's amazing to me.
Well, we don't know he's got dementia to the level that he can't function.
You know what? I was going to start up with Willie is actually the right person here today, and he knows what's going on. But like I had to learn, we're playing along with the game. When in Rome, you do like the Romans. All right, Willie? We're just answering questions, and we're going about the moves, and we're trying to play along with it, because there's nothing else we can really do. You know, pointing out the things you're pointing out, Willie, it's just going to get stationed in trouble. It's just going to take us places where we just can't go. And Eutrice makes that clear. We can't go on hearsay or conspiracy theories. We got to go on what the official truth is what they're giving us, and that's what we go on. But we do the best we can. You know, we do the best we can to play along, because the fact that Donald Trump is the president of the United States is just enough to make my head explode. And just to think that people are just thinking about it like it's normal. I mean, how could this be normal? It's just so ridiculous. I find it hard to play along with it, but I have to. So let's be happy. What can I say?
Well,
Eutrice?
Thank you
let's
so much. Really good to hear from you today, and you sound in fighting form. That's good.
Okay. All right.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, we will close out this Q&A today with one more question, which is philosophical in nature. What do you think about where the country is headed right now? And where do you think it ought to be headed? That's the philosophical question. What do you think about where the country is headed right now? Where do you think it ought to be headed? 888-874-4888. Patricia from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon, Eutrice, and good afternoon to the PRN family. I hope the weather that you have there is a little better than what we have here. We really are experiencing some...
We have some thunder rolling in, and which means we're going to get some rain. Yeah.
We're in the midst of thunder, rain, and wind gusts. The trees are just swaying here. But I want to answer the question that you posed last and this new question, because I think, you know, I have to agree with Ed and with, I forget the other gentleman's name, but, you know, there's no benefit to Joe Biden to debate Trump. And the issue is, it's not because he doesn't have many issues. I mean, Joe Biden it's as if you're taking a test and you've got all the answers, you know, written in the palm of your hand, like you've got a cheat sheet. and you've got all the answers, but you can't figure out how to use the answers. I mean, he's got how Trump handled COVID. The fact that he couldn't promise, he couldn't deliver on those manufacturing jobs that he promised, you know, West Virginia and Pennsylvania. The extension, the fact that he couldn't extend the $600 unemployment insurance, the tax cuts to that have made the wealthy people wealthier. I mean, he has got a plethora of issues that he could tackle, but he's not the right messenger. Now, unfortunately, he's the only messenger we're going to have as a Democratic nominee, but it's both the message and the messenger, and he can't deliver the message.
He's not the right messenger.
He just can't do it. But your second question is, where is this country? You know, this country is this country is at an impasse. It doesn't know which direction it wants to go. Is it on the verge of civil war, or is it trying to turn the curb into a more just society? It's literally on the cusp, and it could go either way.
It can go we're at a point where things can go either way, you say.
It could go either way. I am hopeful. I think we're moving in the direction of social justice. But, you know, there was an event that happened yesterday in Aurora, Colorado, where a group of policemen put children on the ground because they thought the car was stolen. Children ranging in age from 6 to 17 on the ground, hands behind their back, handcuffed. So the question is, are we moving in that direction, or are we moving in the direction that we just saw, where across the country everyone said no more? We're really at a cusp where we could go either way.
Personally, which way will you go?
Well, as you know very, very well, I am not a Joe Biden person. But I think this year, as I have said before, this is a special election. You have got a mentally ill man in the White House, and we cannot continue to leave him there. So as unenthusiastic as I am, I will pull the lever for Joe Biden. And I think the responsibility is going to be on us to force him to go in the direction that we need for ourselves and for our children.
Well, amen. Amen, as they say. Amen and amen. Thank you. Well said. We are, in fact, at a crossroads, and it is up to us to decide which direction you go, knowing full well that no matter what we decide, there are forces already prepared to countermand it, which means we have to be extra forceful in what we do at this time. Well, that seems to be a good place to end the program today. I want to thank you. This was brisk. It had been bristling with incredible and crisp ideas. I thank you for that. I thank you for investing your energy and your foresight, because we don't get it from ordinary people all the time. We don't. We always have experts telling us, you know, what they think and what is going to happen. This, what I love about this program, is that we're the experts too, and we have something to say. And you can't doubt it if you listened to what was offered today. You can't doubt it at all that, in fact, the people, as we are called all the time, the people have something important to say. And they should be given the room, the place, the space to say it without hesitancy, without fear, without recrimination. They should be free to say what they want to say. And I want you to understand how grateful I am that you acknowledge that by doing what you do, reacting in the program the way you do, freely. Nobody is telling you what to say. You're expressing your mind and with the confidence that it is going to be greeted with respect. I marvel at your continued faith in that simple principle that you have space here. And let us continue to do that for as long as we can. Tomorrow, my good friend Gerald Horn will be with us talking about his latest book. It is a doozy. It is called The Dawning of the Apocalypse, The Roots of Slavery, White Supremacy, Settler Colonialism, and Capitalism in the Long 16th Century. So he'll be here tomorrow, and you'll be able to interact with him. I look forward to it. Thank you again, and let's talk again tomorrow. Bye-bye. Thank you.